Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God.
Appreciate that. God bless you. Now look, you put that stuff, you're having a down time, a valley. You put some music like that on in your car that speaks to your spirit and not your flesh. You'll have a revival, folks. That's an honest truth. Do you, y'all have a CD of those type songs, don't you? Not yet. Okay, well, amen. It's coming. Amen, all right. Genesis 45. Thank you, Brother Castle, Miss Castle. I've known Mrs. Castle's many, many years. Her dad and I have been friends for for several years back when he pastored out in Iowa, and I was there in Washington. Appreciate Brother Gary Biggs and Brother Castle, his dad as well. Genesis 45, first book in your Bible, 45th chapter. We're just a couple minutes later than normal, but I think I can hurry through this a little bit in the beginning and then make my application at the end. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. This is the boys that went down into Egypt. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. So in verse 26, his heart faints, but in verse 27, his spirit revives. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. How to revive your spirit. How to revive your spirit. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today for all that we have enjoyed so far, the wonderful singing we got to do together, the special choir song, God recognizing these men who served our country. Lord, thank you for the good special we just heard. Now your word is open before us. Spirit of God, please don't leave us now. Bless in a special way as only you can, both speaker and listeners. Fill us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're seated. Please keep your Bible open here to be told something that you have believed to be true for as long, for a long, long time. And then to find out it's really not true. That plays games on your heart and your mind. For many, many years, Jacob had believed his son Joseph was dead. You remember his sons sold Joseph, his brother sold Joseph to some slave traders going to Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. And then to cover up what they had done, they took Joseph's coat of many colors and they shred it, the one that his father had given him. They shredded it, tore it, and they killed an animal and they took the blood of that animal and put it on the coat. And they told Jacob that his son had been attacked and killed by a wild animal. That was a filthy lie. Just a lie. That was premeditated deceitfulness. And Jacob naturally believed the story. Here was the evidence in front of him. And he grieved and he mourned for his deceased son. Family members rose to comfort him, and Jacob said, I will go to my grave weeping and mourning for my dead son. Joseph may have been a late teenager at the time, maybe 18 to 20 years of age. And so for Jacob, for these many years now, Jacob had gone on believing his son dead, never any real closure with a grave to visit, no place to go and stand over a piece of ground where his son's body lay. For all of these years, he'd been without that. Joseph was dead in his mind. Birthdays would come and go, and Jacob would remember his son. Something would happen around the house that would cause him to remember his son, who he believed with all of his heart was dead. But Joseph was not dead. He was very much alive in Egypt. He was a slave at Potiphar's house for a while. Jacob thought him dead. He was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. Jacob thought him dead. He ended up in Pharaoh's prison. Jacob thought that he was dead. Then after several years, he was released and he was brought to Pharaoh himself. All that time, Jacob believed he was dead. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream while Jacob thought he was dead. Pharaoh made him second in command over all the land of Egypt while Jacob thought he was dead. Joseph organized the food of all the land to prepare for the coming famine. Jacob believed him dead. The famine came. Joseph made food available to the Egyptians all that time. Jacob thought him dead. Then the day came when the famine came to the land where Jacob and his family lived, and Jacob, after going through it for a few years, said to his sons, Boys, I hear there is corn in Egypt. So he sent them down to the land of Egypt, and many of you, most of you know the story. The boys appeared in Egypt before the man who was over all the storehouse of food, their brother, Joseph. Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Shorten the story. After some time, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. He said to them, "I am Joseph." And they were fearful, scared to death. They couldn't believe it. He called them near to him, and he embraced them, and they wept on each other's necks. And what a time they had. And then Joseph said to his brothers, "Boys, I want you to go get Dad and the rest of your families and bring them all to Egypt, because the famine is not over, and we're going to prepare a place for you." And so the boys were thrilled. They were happy. "Oh boy, we're going to have some food. Then let's go get Dad. Let's go tell Dad that..." I bet you they had an argument over who was going to do the talking. "I'm not telling Dad, Joseph. I'm not telling..." "Oh, no, Reuben. I was the one..." Reuben's going, "I'm the one that tried to get him out of the pit." I don't know who it was that did the talking, but somebody had to go back and tell Jacob that Joseph was alive. I don't have time to preach this morning, but there is a Bible principle that goes something like this: be sure your sin will find you out. They had to go tell their dad that they had lied, premeditated, deceived him. And for all those years, he believed his son was dead. Alive the whole time. Can you see them telling Jacob that Joseph was alive? Can you see that happening? Can you see Jacob having a hard time believing that the story is true? Look at verse 26 again. "And Jacob's heart fainted, for he said, quit playing games with me. This is not funny. No, Dad, Joseph lives. We did something terrible. It was a lie, and it's true. Your son's alive. Quit playing games with me. Joseph has been dead for years. You brought me the coat of many colors that was covered with blood, torn in shreds. My son is dead. No, Dad, he's alive." And then there are two things that convinced Jacob that Joseph was alive. Let me show you those two things, and I'm going to make application. Look, first of all, at the words of Joseph. The words of Joseph convinced Jacob that he was alive. Look at verse 27. "And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them." Now, what words were those? Well, those are the words that were spoken to these boys beginning in verse number 9. "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph." And to save time, all down through these verses, Joseph told his brothers what to say to his dad. He said, "Fellas, your eyes have seen me and your ears have heard me. We have touched each other. We have wept on each other's neck. You are eyewitnesses that I live. Now you go and tell Dad I'm alive." And so they did. They said to Jacob, "Dad, Joseph's alive, and here's what he said to tell you. He said to tell you this. He said to tell you that. He said you ought to know this, and he said you ought to know that." And the words of Joseph encouraged the heart of Jacob. So he heard the words. But there's a second thing that encouraged him and revived his spirit. It was not only the words of Joseph, it was the wagons of Joseph. Look at verse number 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph." We already read that. Look at the halfway part of the verse. "And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." So he heard the words of Joseph, and he saw the wagons. You see the wagons back in verse number 19, where Pharaoh is talking to them. He says, Thou art commanded this, do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, your wives, bring your father and come. And don't worry about your stuff. They'll sell that at Yard Mart in a few years. Amen. Don't worry about all your stuff. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Just don't worry about it. And the children of Israel did so. Joseph gave them wagons. Look at the end of verse 21. Gave them provision for the way. He gave them raiment, and he gave, look what he did in verse 23, to his father, to Jacob. He sent after this matter, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread, meat for his father, by the way. So dad, hey, oh, come on, boys, quit playing with my mind. Joseph's been dead. Don't play games with me. This is horrible. I've mourned and grieved over this boy for years. No, Dad, Joseph's alive. This is what he said to tell you. And come outside here. He sent something for you. And Jacob walked outside the house, and he saw those wagons that Joseph had prepared filled with all those things. And the Bible said that Jacob's heart revived. Jacob's heart revived. And he said in verse 28, it is enough. What I've heard, what I've heard and what I've seen. It's enough for me to believe. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. He heard Joseph's words. He saw Joseph's wagons. Now, that's the story. I want to turn the story for us a little bit this morning. It's a little bit different aspect or different take on the story. Our story is a little bit different than Jacob's. Let me make application. There are things we know to be true. There are things that we have believed for years. There are things about which we have, most of the time, no doubt. Most of the time. But because we are human, because we are mechanical, because we're not robots, every so often we find our hearts fainting. We find our belief starts to weaken. Our hearts start to swoon, to become a little feeble. Our spirit falters. Our spirits sag. We get a little bit doubtful about things that we have been taught for years and believe for years to be true because we're human, because our bodies still possess the nature of sin. We are continually dragged down and away from God, and it takes its toll on us. And the circumstances of life and the difficulties of life surround us at times and overwhelm us, and our spirits start to sag and little nagging doubts. For anybody to deny that, you'd be saying that you're not human. It happens to everybody. Across the board. And when our spirits sag and when we get a little bit doubtful, folks, there are two things that if we will do, will help deliver us from a fainting heart, a sagging spirit, will help revive our spirit. You know what those two things are? Hear the words and see the wagons. Hear the words and see the wagons. Let me give you some examples here. Let me give you an extreme example. Does God exist? Your mind starts playing tricks on you. Your spirit starts sagging. Your heart starts to swoon. Is all of this real? Is all of this true? As frail human beings, people can come to the place of wondering, does God exist? Does He live? Is there a heaven? Is all of this real? Oh, we would never stand up in church and admit it. We'd never raise our hand at prayer list, a prayer time, and say, pray for me. I'm really concerned and even doubting in my spirit about if there's even a... Nobody would ever say that. But in the dark hours, they come to every Christian because nobody's a robot. Nobody's mechanical. Begin to wonder, does God exist? Is all of this real? And our spirits sag, our hearts falter. Pastor, what can I do? What do I need? What television show can I watch? None. You know what you need to do, friend? You need to, first of all, hear the words. Well, what words are you talking about? I'm talking about run to your Bible. Run. Well, I don't even know if the Bible's true. Start reading it. You read enough, you read it consistently enough, you'll come to the same conclusion that R.A. Torrey did, who was a man that was given to be a higher critic, came under the influence of the German higher critics about the authenticity of God's Word, and told God he was going to read every verse of it on his knees for 1 year. And at the conclusion of that year, after reading every verse of the Bible on his knees, he stood up at the end of that year and said, without a doubt, that book is the work of God. That book is the Word of God. You start hearing the words, folks, run to your Bible. Read God's testimony. He is the everlasting God. In Psalm 90 in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or whither thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Psalm 93 in verse 2, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. You open your Bible and begin at the very first verse of the very first chapter. In the beginning, God. You hear those words. You run to the words of the Word of God, and your spirit will begin to revive. Not only hear the words, but see the wagons. You say, see the wagons. What wagons are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about wagons of your life that have been loaded with goods that would help your fainting heart to know and reestablish your assurance that God lives. I'm talking about the wagon of creation. Folks, all you got to do is open your eyes every day and look and see how all this functions and how it's all held together. There's absolutely no way under heaven that this is the result of some spontaneous explosion of gases any more than just one day there was a loud bang and this watch just fell into place and started keeping accurate time. Pastor, you've lost your mind. So has the doctor of education who stands in our universities and denies that God created the heavens and the earth. Join the little pygmy man in remote village of Africa who climbed up the highest tree every day in his village and stared off into the universe. For a couple of hours he sat up there, then he scaled down the tree. Next morning he would scale the tree again and look off into the universe and down again. And day after day up that tree he went, staring off into the heavens. What's he doing up there? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's an uneducated, unlearned pygmy man in a remote village in Africa who's looking out into the universe and saying, who are you and where are you? Somebody put all this together. Creation preaches a sermon every 24 hours. Does God exist? Wake up tomorrow morning. You'll see. Wake up again Tuesday morning. You'll see. Does God exist? Oh, listen, friends. See the wagon of creation. See the wagon of answered prayer. You know. Go back in your life. Look back through the time of being saved and see where God answered a prayer. Something happened in response to you praying in faith to an almighty God. And the devil helps us try to forget those things and overlook those things. Those are wagons that tell us God lives. God exists. God is alive. See the wagon of changed lives. Look at people all around you. Look at yourself. And see how God changed your life. Look at the lives of those that have been changed. And by the way, look at the lives of those who came to the door of salvation and walked away. See the wagon of changed lives. Are you struggling this morning? In the dark recesses of your soul with the question, does God exist? Hear the words. See the wagons. Your spirit will revive. Number two, what about this question? Maybe this is more close to home than that one. Does God care? Does God care? You say, Pastor, okay, my heart never has fainted with unbelief that God exists, but I will say that my heart has fainted, my spirit has staggered at times believing that God cares. What do I do about that? In fact, right now, I'm in the throes of one of those time periods where I'm really struggling with the question, does God care? Hear the words, friend. Run to your book. Read story after story after story where God cared for His... How about the story of the man we're talking about this morning, Joseph? Have you been mistreated? Have you been mistreated? Have you been lied about? And you wonder to yourself, does God even care? Check out the words in your book talking about the man Joseph, how he was mistreated over and over again by his brothers, by Potiphar's wife, by the butler. And what does the Bible say? God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. God cares. Are you depressed? Are you so low that you thought maybe recently or some time ago, why do I even live? Does God care? Read the story of Job. Read the story of Elijah. Elijah got so depressed, he asked God, Lord, take my life. It's enough. Take me out of this world. Believing, no doubt, that God didn't care about him. But you hear, you read, I'm sorry, in that story where he went to that cave and here was this fire and this wind and this big storm. And then there was this still, small voice speaking to his heart. Elijah, what are you doing here? What's the matter? Why are you here at this cave? Why are you sitting around worried about whether or not you should live? And I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. God cared for that man. David, have you been discouraged? Read about David, who was so discouraged because the people started speaking of stoning him. And read the story of David and how he encouraged himself. Hear the words, folks. Hear the words of this good book that will tell you over and over and over again when your heart tells you God doesn't care. This book says, oh yes, He does. He cares. He cares. But if you ask yourself, does God care? Not only hear the words, see the wagons. See the wagons. You know, some of you fellows are going through some hard times right now. I was thinking about you hardly a week goes by. In fact, several times during the week that I don't think about you personally and pray for you and ponder your situation right now. And I can say to a couple, three of you men going through a difficult spell right now, I remember when you were going through hard times earlier in your life. And God cared. And sometimes the sky gets cloudy. Maybe you don't see as clearly into the throne room of heaven as you do at other times. And maybe in the dark recesses of your heart, you start to wonder, does God care about me? See the wagons. Go back and relive those times where you found out, oh yes, God cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my situation because God has cared for you and God does care for you now. See the wagons. In your memory, see the wagons. You know, I've told you this before. This is something for me personally, and just going into this auditorium and this building program the very first time, and you know, a little bit overwhelmed with it, and doing everything else along with now trying to get this. You know, not wasn't physically doing the work, but just you know. The involvement of the decisions and all, and they had broken. They were starting to break ground, and it was a Tuesday night. And I was out in Limestone that evening, or Thursday night back in those days. And it was out in Limestone, and I was by myself. We had an odd number of men, and I was by myself. And I made a visit out in Limestone, coming across those railroad tracks. The heaviness of the building program just sagged on me. And I wondered to myself, God, do you even know what's going on? Isn't that a foolish question? Isn't that a foolish question? But sometimes we think foolish things, don't we? Say, that's right. Amen. Yeah. The best of us. Lord, I need something to show me you care. Yeah, it might have been a Tuesday night. I can't remember now, but I was in the office the next morning getting ready for something and the phone heard the phone ring and then one of the secretaries buzzed and said, Cloyd Helton is on the line for you from Texas. Cloyd Helton. Cloyd Helton was my bus division leader when I was a freshman in Bible college in 1976. This was the year 2000. Cloyd Helton calling me. Cloyd Helton had muscular dystrophy or something, MS or some polio. He had a fake foot, kind of like Brother Jack Lewis did. Remember that? He had a brace, but he was from the waist up. He was like Charles Atlas. From the waist down, it was just pathetic. The disease had crippled him, but he walked like this, and he'd go to Chicago and visit all day, like this. And Cloyd and I became friends. And then he left school because his dad died suddenly, and his dad had a big ranch in Texas, and he and his brother went home to take care of the ranch. And I never saw Cloyd. Cloyd came through here one time. Saw him once, I think, maybe out in Iowa here. I hadn't heard from Cloyd in years. Cloyd helped and called me. Terry, how you doing, man? I said, Cloyd. Hey, Terry, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great, man. It's great to hear from you. He said, yeah. He said, I was just in my office this morning, and the Lord said, call Terry Angel. So he said, I got your number, and I called. Everything okay? I said, yeah, it is, Cloyd. God's blessing. I said, you know, I appreciate it. I said, he said, anything I can pray about? He said, well, we're fixing to go. I said, we're fixing to go into a building program. I'm kind of nervous and overwhelmed by it all. He said, oh. He said, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. God's got His hand on you. God will help you. God will see you through. Okay. Anything else? No. Just wanted to call. Thank you, Cloyd. Appreciate you. Yeah, you too. Yeah, you care. Yeah, you care. Oh, he cares. See the wagons. See the way. Now this is so small. But folks, this is what I'm talking about. Your spirit starts sagging, your heart starts fainting, and you look for this great big explosion of something to happen that'll encourage you. Start looking for the small things. Start looking for the wagons. I was out the other day. This has been a couple Fridays ago on a tree stand, and it was the Friday I think we went to the Friday we went to your dad's men's retreat. Brother Jeff went out early in the morning. We left about, what, 1:30? I can't remember. That was 2 weeks ago, yeah. And so we went out. I went out and hunted, and I was in a hurry because I wanted to get home, get cleaned up, get ready to go with these fellows up to the retreat. And I, coming out of the woods, walking to my truck, I looked back across the field, and I saw a buck standing out there. You're not supposed to be out there. You're supposed to be down in the woods. What are you doing out there, you know? I looked for a little bit, and I got undressed, you know, and decently, okay. I took off my outer clothing and you know, put it in the truck and pulled out, you know, and started down the road. I got to the end of the road at the stop sign to turn right to go 9,000 to my house. And you ever had a thought just come in your mind? How big was that buck? I don't know. Okay. I got time. So I turned around, went back, and here I had left my hunting boots sitting outside the truck. I pulled up. Now, that may not mean much to you, but those are about $90 boots. And, you know, well, that's just a... Don't talk to me about coincidence. When I have driven out of that place, I don't know how many times, never given a thought about anything, and the God of heaven, who cares, who knows the very numbers of the hairs of my head, cares about me and sent me back to get my hunting boots before somebody stole them. Amen. And if you don't believe that was a wagon, that's okay. And you got them too. You got them too. Little things that just pull up and just happen. That's kind of odd. Oop, no, not really. I just got a loving Heavenly Father who cares about some of the little things in my life. Does God exist? Does God care? Hear the words. See the wagons. Does God love me? Hear the words. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, hear the words. see the wagon. What kind of wagon, Pastor, do I need to look at to see that God loves me? Take your eyeballs back to 2,000 years ago by faith, where His Son hung on the cross for 6 hours, shed every drop of His blood so that your sins could be forgiven, went to that old tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, came out again to prove that He was the Son of God. That's enough. That's enough of a wagon right there. Oh, He loves you. Oh, He loves you. Oh, He loves you. See the wagons. Will God save me? Hear the words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hear the words. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Years ago, I witnessed to a man who told me, Pastor, and I'm talking about he was rough. He said, Pastor, I just feel like I've done too much. I'm too much of a sinner for God to save. That's the person He came for. I told him, oh, wonderful. You mean, seriously, I don't have to convince you that you're a sinner. I've just done too many bad things. Oh, I got to show him that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Are you that bad of a sinner? Hey, God saves old sinners. Oh, yeah. The drunk on the street. The rich in the palaces. Oh, boy. The poor and unlearned and the men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, but they all have to come to Calvary. And I am so glad God saves old sinners. That's the only kind He saves. Old sinners. Will God save me? Are you a sinner? See the wagons. What are you talking about, Pastor? Oh, the wagons are filled. The wagons are filled with people who through time have come to Christ as an old sinner and got saved by the grace of God. Is your spirit sagging this morning? Do you need a little revival? Maybe I didn't even mention the area that's causing your spirit to sag. Pastor, what can I do? Hear the words and see the wagons. Hear the words. You get in this book, I'll double dog dare you. You get in this book, I promise you the Holy Ghost of God will use something in this book to tell you, hey. Hear the words and see the wagons. And your spirit will revive. Father in heaven, thank You for the privilege to preach Your book this morning. God, I pray that You'll take this simple application of a Bible story and the truth of it, Lord, and help somebody today. Lord, help us to run to the book, hear the words, and then jog our memories and help us to look back over time and see the wagons. How many times, oh God, have You sent little wagons our way, full of evidence that You exist, that You care, that You love us, that You'll save us. Lord, what a blessing. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching the unspeakable words of the Holy Bible this morning. And I encourage those who need it and help those who need it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I need a little bit of that this morning. I need a little bit of reviving. My heart just a little bit sagging for different reasons. And I need to hear the words and see the wagons. And that helped me this morning. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you may be sitting? I see that. I see that. I appreciate it. Amen. Hear the words and see the wagons. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I'm one of those old sinners that has often thought, would God save me? But He will. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. We have people that can take a Bible and show you how you can come to Christ simply in faith, believing. We have men to talk to men and boys, girls, ladies to talk to ladies and girls. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you're an old sinner, God saves you, will save you. Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. Bottom floor, top floor. front to back, side to side, anybody, member, visitor, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. If you need to be baptized this morning in obedience to your conversion and your faith in Christ, you will come. You come and obey Christ. If you need to come and encourage your, take the first step at getting your spirit revived, it won't happen down at this altar, but it can begin here if you'll make a decision to go home and hear the words and take some time to see the wagons. God will revive your spirit. If you need to be saved, don't hesitate. You step out as soon as the music begins and come, and we'll show you how to be saved this morning, because God still saves old sinners. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray that you'll please help us today. May our spirits be revived as we hear the words and see the wagons. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and they're playing the song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. Come on now. Hear the words, see the wagons. Go home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hear the words and see the wagons. Oh, thank God. Just the piano, quietly, just the piano for a minute. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to speak to you. Elderly people this morning who spend a lot of lonesome hours. Sometimes in those lonely hours, the old dark thoughts come. You didn't plan to end your life living alone, but that's how it's turned out. God exists. God cares. God loves you. God's there. Hear the words, see the wagons. Take a moment to revive your spirit. Let God make Himself real to you. He will. Because He exists, He cares, He loves. And your heart can be revived a little bit. Our Father in heaven, we bow before You this morning, thankful for Your eternal Word. Thankful, Lord, for eternal truth. And Lord, just as Jacob is of old, had his spirit revived because of the words of Joseph and the wagons of Joseph, so we too can have our fainting hearts revived. None of us are robots. None of us are mechanical. Nobody here operates on autopilot. We are human. We are fleshly. And at times carnal. And oh, how we need the assurance over and over again. And thank You that we can find it in Your Word. And we can see it in the wagons You've sent our way. So revive our spirits today. Lift up those that are sagging. Encourage those that have maybe been a little bit doubtful. May Your hand be very real to them this week, the next coming days, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.